To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of my canine friend Harley looking down a freshly fallen snowboarded weight road with the morning sun shining down from on high comes to us from yours truly as I captured this scene on a later than usual morning walk this past Sunday, which I now realize was the last morning of winter 2023. See ya! What a difference a few days can make. That morning I was a little miffed because I discovered that we had a fresh dusting of the white stuff, and even though the sun was shining brightly, I wondered if we would ever be free of the snow and the cold temperatures that were clear and present that Sunday morning. But now, spring has sprung, and most of the snow, down my way anyway, here in Stuyvesant, is gone. And I wake up this morning with my electronic personal assistant reporting that it is 45 degrees outside, with a forecast of showers and a high of 58 degrees. So, who knows? It looks like we are free. So let's believe it, and even if we experience some bumps in the road in the days ahead that challenge the belief that winter is over, let's trust that the Lord will do what he has done before and move the seasons forward in the way he has before. Now, I fully understand that my beliefs and hopes don't have an effect on the weather. If they did, it would have been a snowless winter. But sometimes our beliefs and our standing on the truth of God's word is the missing ingredient in our success at experience our freedom and victory in Christ. Today's Thursday, and I share today's photo because it highlights a pathway, and I intentionally use that as a visual reminder to keep walking and talking with God on the path of Christian discipleship, because our life of faith is a walk, and it must be continuous. Our faith must endure to the end. Scripture doesn't paint a pretty picture of people who lived a righteous life for a time and then go into sin at the end. Scripture indicates that those who say they believe but never repent of their sin may be false converts, that they were with us but not of us. The fruit of a Christian disciple's life grows out of faith and the application of God's wisdom to their life. A Christian disciple agrees with the Word of God and lives by it. They can gotta love it when a word's missing. They can something with their minds, let's say, their minds that lived independently of God, they can change their minds. Yeah, they can change their minds or renew their minds. How's that? They can renew their minds that lived independently of God to align with the truth of what God says in his word. Just like our salvation is won by faith alone in Christ alone, our freedom and victory comes through faith that God is through the faith that God sets us free and has already given us all we need for life and godliness. In my walk of discipling of others, I have often encountered Christians that seem to have a block or a wall that separates them from realizing or keeping their freedom in Christ for long. After much thought and consideration, I believe that the wall or block in these Christians' lives is self-imposed and created by a combination of deception and a lack of faith. These Christians can either have that thick wall of separation in their minds that divides the holy and the secular aspects of their lives into two distinct categories. With these, there is their life of faith and real life. They shift from the secular to the holy when they go to church or do their spiritual practices, but then revert to their worldly ways for most of the time in their days. They end up being those who honor the Lord with their lips, but their hearts or minds are not all in, and that causes a real problem of doubt and disbelief. These are the sinners saved by grace. They believe in God, but actually show their disbelief by not repenting or by believing that the promises of God don't apply to them. They are, quote-unquote, hopeless cases. It's not God's fault, it's theirs, and is what they think. And in a way, they are right. They are believing a lie. that God hasn't given them the power to overcome, or they simply don't believe in any real way. They claim belief, but not a belief that would cause them to obey God's word, or not a belief that would cause them to seek the Lord and his purpose for their life. Whether it's based on the belief that they can't do it, or they simply don't want to do it, that's volitional. By their own will, they are choosing not to trust the Lord and follow him into repentance and freedom. Marcus Warner touched on this in the realm of spiritual warfare affair by stating that even though we have the authority to cast out demons that oppress us, if we don't really believe we have that authority, the demons don't have to leave. He wrote in What Every Believer Should Know About Spiritual Warfare that sometimes the missing ingredient is simply the person's confidence. The demon is waiting to see if the person doing the evicting really believes. I have seen more than one demon flee after a person who had been victimized and reduced to slavery for years finally begin to affirm their true identity in Christ and often for the first time in their lives stand up to the demons and fight for what was theirs. So we have to really believe, and we have to demonstrate that we really believe by standing in our true identity in Christ and to fight for what is ours. So let's fight the good fight, and let's show the enemy and ourselves that we really believe by drawing close to God in the season of Lent as we enter into day 26 of our current series, The 40-Day Journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. As a reminder, and as we will say each day of this journey, we take this path to mark the season of Lent and to draw closer to God in anticipation of the celebration of Easter, knowing that if we take this journey of repentance seriously, we will not only see the days and seasons change, the Lord will use it to change us too. You can sign up to get this devotional yourself by going to the Bible Gateway link on the blog. And so we enter into day 26, and Bonhoeffer writes, "Whoever cannot be alone should beware of community. Such people will only do harm to themselves and to the community. Alone, you stood before God when God called you. Alone, you had to obey God's voice. Alone, you had to take up your cross, struggle, and pray, and alone you will die and give an account to God. You cannot avoid yourself, for it is precisely God who has singled you out. If you do not want to be alone, you are rejecting Christ's call to you, and you can have no part in the community of those who are called. But the reverse is also true. Whoever cannot stand being in community should beware of being alone. You are called into the community of faith. The call was not meant for you alone. You carry your cross, you struggle, and you pray in the community of faith, the community of those who are called. You are not alone, even when you die, and on the day of judgment, you will be only one member of the great community of faith of Jesus Christ. Whoever cannot be alone should beware of community. Whoever cannot stand being in community should beware of being alone." End quote. Wow, that's just, you know, so good. You know, one of those, I mention it later in this, but it's one of the great paradoxes of our faith, that it's an individual faith, and yet we're all parts of the body of Christ that's supposed to be in community. Anyway, for the biblical wisdom, the study shares Romans 12, 4 and 5, which says, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another." So there it is, right in Scripture. You know, we all have individual functions as part of the one body in Christ. Let's see, we move on to the questions to ponder. And the first question is, why do so many people in our society seem to fear being alone? Well, many people fear being alone because it can be frightening and depressing. If we are alone, we can feel unsafe. If we are alone, we can feel unloved. God has made us relational creatures from the beginning. As he declared to Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. Our existence depends on community. And when we isolate from the company of others, we are failing to meet our purpose in Christ, which is to love God and to love others as ourselves. However, we are to love God first. if we love God first, we need never fear being alone, because when we put our faith in Christ, God is with us. He indwells us with the Holy Spirit. Those who fear being alone don't understand or appreciate the presence of God in their lives. But to be complete, we are not just to stay hidden away in God's presence either. God calls us to go out into the world and love people into his kingdom. God's purposes are perfect because they fulfill our need for companionship, and they meet his desire that people would have peace with him. Thus, Bonhoeffer encourages us to be aware of beware of both being alone and being in community to the exclusion of the other, because we are to do both. Just another paradox of our simple faith. The next question is, why do so many churches seem to be mere aggregates of individuals rather than true communities of faith? Aggregates? If you're as sharp as I am, you may have to look that up. An aggregate is a whole formed, not like a hole in the ground, but a whole formed by combining several elements, a collection, I guess. So why do some churches seem to be a mere collection of individuals rather than true communities of faith? Well, Western societies tend to stress the individual more than a group or community identity that Eastern cultures tend to stress. So it is not surprising that our societal influences that tell us to focus on ourselves affects us when we come into the community of faith. The world, at least in this hemisphere, seems to teach us that it's everyone for themselves rather than we are all in this together. And I don't care what propaganda may have been pushed during COVID-19. The empty shelves in the supermarket demonstrated just how much we are all in this together. So that's why churches can seem more like aggregates of individuals than a true community. I don't think we have true community until Jesus comes back, because of the world broken by sin and driven by self-interest. I am guilty too. So, you know, I'm not preaching as much as condemning myself or convicting myself. Thus, we need to have balance. And guess what? The next question tells us that. The next question is, in what ways can a disciple establish a healthy balance between aloneness and community? A disciple can establish a healthy balance between aloneness and community by being intentional about having alone time with God and by fully engaging in their local church, and by making friendships within the body of Christ and by seeking to serve where they worship. We need both to be balanced. And we move along to the psalm fragment for today, which is drawn from Psalm 111, verses 1 and 2. And the psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them." And I love the use of this psalm because it tells us to give thanks to the Lord with our whole hearts, you know, hearty worship in the company of the upright in the congregation. We're to gather in community to praise the Lord and to do it with the sincerity of our hearts. And, you know, that the great works of the Lord are to be studied by all who delight in them. So, again, it's a wonderful use of the psalms here to indicate a life of worship and a life of study and knowing who the Lord is, and, you know, with the implication, I would say, to apply that word to our lives. You know, we're not just to learn facts and figures. We're to learn how to live the Christian life and to do that and to meet God's purposes. So we move along to the journal reflections. And the first prompt is to write about times when you have intentionally been alone. How did it make you feel? What did you do? Did your aloneness have any impact on how you felt when you were with others again? I have often been intentionally alone. Before Christ, I did it to escape the company of men that rejected me, or to indulge in sinful behavior that I didn't want any witnesses of. But after I put my faith in Christ, I realized I was never alone. And when I choose to have some solitude, God goes with me. You know, I you know, whether it's a hike or a Bible study, you know, the Lord's with me when I'm alone. I'm always walking and talking with God, literally. Let's see. Aloneness before Christ made me feel anxious, afraid, angry, or depressed. But now, in Christ, I have peace and joy in the presence of the Lord. My aloneness would, you know, before, my aloneness would make me wary of being in the presence of others before Christ. But since I have Jesus in my life, I am markedly less wary and more appreciative of the other people in my life. So, the next journal prompt asks us to write about your experience in community. Do you feel an integral part of your community? Do you feel like you have a good balance between time in community and time alone? Some of the best moments of my faith journey have been in community. Those perfect, shining moments where I and others were serving or praising the Lord in unity make one feel like an integral part of our community, that we are a part of something much bigger than ourselves, and we are blessed. Do I have a good balance between being in community and time alone? I do, for me. My disposition, my temperament, or my relational attachment style, if you will, is one that demands a good deal of alone time. And not for nothing, a disciple's zeal for our faith can afford us some loneliness, even when we crave community. But I do feel I have a good balance for me, in that I regularly engage with small groups for the sake of community or ministry. I sometimes think that it would be nice just to stay in my room reading the vast quantities of books that I have collected and just focus on my individual relationship with the Lord. But when I contemplate actually doing that, it never sits right in my spirit, because I know that part of my purpose is to be in community with the body of Christ and to be an ambassador for the kingdom to welcome others in. We need each other. And thus, we need a balance between being alone and being in community. And we're not done yet, but we're moving into the intercessions portion of our study. And the intercessions prompt us to ask the question, if you know anyone who seems lonely, pray that they might discover true community. If you know anyone who seems afraid to be alone with themselves, pray that they might discover the joy of solitude, of being alone with God. And so we pray. Lord God, I'm not going to call out names, but you know who I am thinking of, who is lonely, and of another person who seems incapable of being alone. I pray for these people to be touched by you, to be compelled to seek out a community of faith where they can have their relational needs met and be able to grow in their faith and maturity individually. I pray that the one who fears being alone finds the joy of solitude, of being alone with you. And I pray for the one who is alone to find the faith community they so desperately need. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And finally, the prayer for today. O Lord, when I am too much alone, help me seek community. When I am too dependent on community, help me to set aside time to be alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, that completes our day 26 study of the 40-day journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I can't believe, you know, it's almost done. You know, that's 14 days left. And what am I going to do after this 40-day journey is over? Well, we're going to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us next, as we should always be asking what's next in our faith walk. For me, what's next? Well, there's a day of work ahead, and then after that, I have the privilege and honor of leading another man through the steps to freedom in Christ this evening. And so I covet your prayers for that, you know, that the Lord would be with us and the Holy Spirit would move this man's life to bring him to repentance and for him to experience a new level of freedom in Christ. As always, we do invite you to go to mtforchrist.org, where we share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from A.W. Pink's The Sovereignty of God as we continue in Chapter 11, which is entitled Difficulties and Objections. And so we're preparing the next section of that for you to read. So if you want to dive in to see what difficulties and objections that A.W. Pink discusses, you'll have to go to the mtforchrist.org to see that resource at today's end of today's blog post. As always, we encourage people to find their freedom in Christ. And to assist you in your journey of faith, we provide our discipleship classes that we podcasted back in 2021. They're available on the audio podcast and our YouTube channel, both of the same name, for MT4Christ 247. And the three classes that we did were Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker, and Freedom in Christ. And if you wanted to get the materials for that, you can always contact me at MT4Christ247@gmail.com. And I would email you the handouts and study guides that I provided in class. As always, a big part of our faith is agreeing with the Word of God. So we encourage Bible study, and we also provide a Bible study of sorts with Arthur and Susanna Cincotti. That's called Bible Study with the Cincotti. So if you wanted to listen to our topical study to be encouraged, we have archives going all the way back to 2021. We didn't have one this past week, but I'm hoping that we'll meet again on Sunday to continue our work of encouragement. And speaking of encouraging our work, I do have to go to work. So let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you so much for all you've done in our lives. Lord, we just pray for the people who might be listening or reading this message, that they'd be blessed and that you would come alongside them and their prayer request. Lord, because we need your help on this path that we've decided to take to follow you into the abundant life that you've given us. Lord, we just pray that you'd go before us today. Set things up for us, Lord. We need your help. You're the sovereign God of all creation. So when we have a good day, we know it's because of you. And when we have a challenging day, we know that it's used by you to grow us in our maturity as we go through trials. So Lord, we're not sure what you have in store for us today, but we pray for you to open our eyes for everything you want us to see and lead our steps into the things that you would have us do. Lord, because all we want to do is represent you and your kingdom because of the tremendous love that you poured out in us when you revealed to us the truth of who Jesus Christ is. So Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.